This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, healers. It's Allison here. So I want to tell you a little bit more about how Taylor and I got started with our podcast. And the platform we've been using, which is Anchor, has been so user-friendly and so amazing. I just want to tell anyone else out there that is thinking about starting a podcast, Anchor is the way to go. First of all, it's completely free. So, hello. Second of all, there's so many creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It's crazy. I'm recording this right from my phone, and it literally just looks like the record button on your videos or your Instagram. So it really is such a user-friendly platform. And the coolest thing is you can add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes too. And the possibilities are seriously endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never even seen before. Anchor also distributes your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many other platforms. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And like I said, it's so user-friendly. I recommend Anchor. Go to anchor.fm to get started, or the Anchor app. See you later, healers.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And together, we're the Anxiety Chicks.
Each week, we will dive deep into a different topic about anxiety and the real-life experiences we all go through,
while giving you all the top tools and tips you need for your journey to recovery.
Our degrees may say therapist and dietitian, but together we are just real chicks on our own healing journeys too.
Join us as we take you from panic to power and reduce the stigma of mental health. Remember, you're never alone, and we're all in this together.
Hi, healers. Allison here. So I want to talk to y'all a little bit about one of our new sponsors, BetterHelp. I'm so excited to tell you about this online counseling platform because as a licensed therapist, I'm a huge advocate of mental health awareness and truly believe in providing affordable counseling services to anyone, anywhere. Let's face it, there's so many areas in the United States and around the world that can make it so difficult to find affordable counseling. And especially if you live in a more rural area, it can be really hard to find a counselor, which is why I love this online platform. BetterHelp is an online mental health healing platform that provides online counseling and matches you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's a professional counseling service done securely online and is available worldwide. What's even better is that there are a number of different licensed counselors who specialize in all different areas of mental health. BetterHelp makes it so easy to log onto your account at any time and contact your therapist directly. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses and can schedule as many weekly video or phone sessions as you would like. As a therapist, I know that it's not always possible to find the right therapist for your needs, especially the very first time. So BetterHelp has actually made it so easy to facilitate great therapeutic matches. And if you don't find a connection with your first counselor, there's absolutely no charge to change counselors if you ever need to. How amazing is that? And if you find that you're struggling financially, they also have financial aid available. So we have a special offer for all Anxiety Chick listeners today. Sign up now and receive 10% off your first month. Just visit betterhelp.com/theanxietychicks. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, /theanxietychicks, and join over 500,000 people who are taking charge of healing their mental health with an experienced counselor today. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I am Allison Zeppanera.
And I'm Taylor.
And today, you guys, I'm going to be honest, this is going to be a weird episode because we're going to talk a little bit about the anxiety of heartbreak, mostly because I'm going through a breakup now. So for anyone that's been listening since the day one, I've talked about my relationship that I had gotten into, and I don't want to like minimize like how important it was to me because it was only like 5 months, but no, I think as I get, as
it
get,
was,
no, it was, it, anyway, we can get into it, but it was, it's been very, very hard for me.
And it's okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to get emotional, you guys. But the anxiety of heartbreak has been, I've actually never really felt this before in my life. And while I feel like I know that the decision for both of us to not be together is like probably the best thing. Like really, we talked about it, but it still hurts so much. And my heart just goes out to anyone that's going through a breakup or like a divorce. Like I've been just listening to so many podcasts and just like reading so many things about relationships and understanding my own limitations to relationships after this happened, that I can't like imagine for anyone that has been married for a long time or has kids with their husband and gets divorced or, you know, isn't married and just breaks up after a long time. Like I feel for you so much. And, you know, I'm so sorry. So if this is a different type of episode, so I if you're, you know, not going through this, or I don't know, you might not really care about listening to this episode, but we'll.
No, Allie, people who care about you here. There's two things you've said so far that have made me so sad. It's one, that your relationship was short, so it's not as important, but I saw the glimmer in your eye. I saw how you talked about this. I saw the pep in your step. And so this breakup is important, and it is something we are going to talk about. And if you've been dating someone for 2 months and you are just completely heartbroken listening to this, you're not alone either. And like, some people feel things heavier than others, and that's okay. Allie and I have talked about how we're highly sensitive people, so we feel it.
Oh,
all.
My god, yeah. And I know we said that we would be doing an HSP episode, which we will be, but I felt like I just wanted to, since I had been sharing my story, I wanted to be authentic and talk about my life because that's who I am. I am very real, and I just want people to know and to relate to, you know, what is going on. Now, for the sake of, you know, the person I was with who is amazing, I don't want to like get into really private things at all, but I can definitely talk about like the journey of how it went from, you know, feeling this amazing euphoric type of feeling to like devastation.
So I think we left off on the podcast. You were packing your bags, remember, for the 4 day, it was going to snow.
Yeah. That was like an amazing, we had.
So like, that's where like our listeners have remembered.
So that time together was awesome. It was like, I can't even really think about that because I feel like that was the last time I felt like we were just like, it was so nice and just really enjoyed each other. And then the holidays happen. And here's the thing. Like, he is going through a divorce. So, and it's very recent. So there is a lot of, and for anyone listening that has been through a divorce or has been with someone a long time, you know, like going through something like that is such a huge loss. You know, there's so much grieving that goes into being with someone for that long. And he also had two children, he has two children. So this whole thing is just, it was so new, you know, like I'm not going to speak for him, but I know in my mind, you know, that going through that type of loss is like a grieving process. And so he literally had just done that.
I mean, I literally was going through it with him. He had not even signed papers until like a couple weeks ago. I mean, they were not together for a while, but there was
Did
just
Did they still speak or?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's, I mean, they have an amazing co-parenting relationship. Their children are amazing children. I mean, he's such a good father. They really just get along and but still, you know, again, I can't imagine being this like nuclear family with someone for like, I mean, he knew her for like 20 years, but they were this nuclear family for like 11 years. And so, you know, that basically that's like your family, right? Like how right. do you move forward?
How so do you know any different?
How do you know any different? And how are you right. supposed to give so much of yourself to a new relationship
right.
when
right.
you're still in this? And my gut, like I knew that. And I just, I don't know. I think that I talked about this in my stories today because I'm learning so much more about my own like fear of abandonment and my own anxious attachment. And I've talked about that throughout the podcast and how so many things were I was questioning all the time, just like, am I good enough? Is he going to leave me? Like, he didn't text me back in 3 hours. Like, oh my gosh, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And
right. And you said that all the time, even on the podcast.
All the time. Yeah. And honestly, that ended up being like a problem. It wasn't anything that he ever made was my fault. I don't think it was the demise of the relationship, but it definitely was a problem. I mean, it's definitely a problem no matter what type of relationship I think I would have been in. I would have been so anxious about.
Right, right. I don't think it was him. Like, it wasn't just him. It was just like how you feel and then getting in a relationship, you recognize that.
No, I mean, he did nothing to have
yeah,
me
it's not like he
worry.
Lost your trust.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah. If anything, he was like overly. Now, mm-hmm. I will say that when things started kind of like being coming, like questioning things in my mind, it was because things became more inconsistent. So like the texting stuff that would happen all the time wasn't yeah. happening anymore. The, you know, little affection things that.
It's okay.
He used to do, like he wouldn't do anymore. So.
Well, so it's okay. Take a second. Like, yeah, I mean, those are definitely signs. Like when you see someone who's struggling themselves, like, but they don't know. And I'm sure like to you, he'd be like, no, Allie, like I still like you. But like, he couldn't even recognize that. Like he couldn't give that space to you.
Yeah. No. And he like, he basically said he doesn't think that he can be the man that I need him to be, which I'm not really sure kind of what that meant because I feel like he is doing so much like self-reflection for him too.
Right.
In this situation and trying to find out like who he is outside of this, his old marriage and all this stuff. But right. I don't necessarily know if that's true or not because I think I was learning about like who I am in a relationship or what type of relationship I want to be in, but I know that we definitely had similar values, you know, and right. we enjoyed similar things, but I'm not sure if he was really like, I don't know if he was really speaking up about things he enjoyed or not, because he really, we were just having fun. And I think there's other things maybe he, I don't know, didn't necessarily see that we were aligned on about our lifestyles because he has two little kids and you know, he enjoys different things, the outdoor, like doing, like building things and all this stuff, which is awesome that I love. But I'm also someone that likes being social and going out every now and then. And there's a pandemic, so we didn't necessarily have that option a lot. And what he had said to me was that, you know, once the pandemic ends, it's almost like another stressor for him to kind of figure out this relationship when I know I would want to be going out and more social and he's probably exhausted, right? He's like a single dad every now. There was just kind of lifestyle things that I'm not sure we could have worked through, but.
I feel like though, when you do truly care about the person, knowing you, you wouldn't be like, okay, we're going to all the parties
No, I don't even like that. I'm not even like that.
I was like, I'm confused.
Here's the thing. The only thing that I think I'm still kind of confused about and makes me really sad is that, like, we had this conversation, which was probably the most honest, real conversation that him and I had had in our relationship. Like, it was a really real, raw, not just mature, open conversation about our relationship. And it was the first time we had it, but it was like the last time too. I don't really understand why we couldn't have tried things. Like, I don't know why.
Right.
It wasn't an option.
Do you feel like it was just so fun? Like, you were so, y'all were in that, like you said, euphoric stage where you were just having so much fun that the real conversations never felt necessary? Or,
I mean, we would have conversations, but yeah, here's the thing. I, for some reason, just always felt so scared telling him my feelings.
Right.
I didn't feel safe for some reason saying exactly how I felt to him, because I don't think he didn't really, when I got emotional, like, I would get emotional in front of him, he would be very compassionate. But I think this is just what I think maybe there is something about me sharing difficult emotions with him that makes him feel like he did something wrong.
Right.
And it's not, you know, and like, we both have certain insecurities about the relationship, which isn't good, but you need to feel safe enough to express your emotions. And sorry that I cry a lot, but I don't need someone again in my life telling me that crying is like, I'm too sensitive, or like, oh my gosh, the emotions is just a bad thing. Like, I got that my entire life.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but expressing my emotions and crying sometimes
is healthy.
Is healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you bottled that up, it would come out in some other form one day.
Totally. I mean, I dedicate my entire life to being open and honest.
Right.
And I want someone that loves that about me.
Absolutely. Especially like, now that you know and you've seen the kind of guys, why would you minimize yourself for someone?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think there's a lot about my emotions that he is uncomfortable with, and he's just not used to. Like, and he said that. He did not make me feel like I wasn't, you know, I was a bad person or I did something wrong. And he kept saying that, like, I don't want you to think you did something wrong. Like, he was not making me feel like that. There was just some barrier with how I wear my emotions on my sleeve and how he doesn't know what to do with it. He just doesn't know what to do with it. And that's not his fault at all.
No.
It's just something that I think everyone that's like that should work on, because no one should have to hide any emotions or feel scared to say how they're feeling. And honestly, every single healthy relationship, that's the type of communication that makes it last, is being open and sharing those feelings. Not every single, I mean, like, I'm not saying that he needed to tell me every single second of the day that he felt sad or mad, but like, when it comes to our relationship, you need to actually tap into some of those feelings.
I mean, I'm honestly proud of you that you were authentic from the start. So like, most, I've seen girls and guys do this, and I think it's the one piece of advice anyone listening should take if they're single, is don't try and be someone else and this like perfect other person for someone in the beginning when things are good, because at some point you have to be you, you know? And,
oh my gosh,
and yeah, if you're emotional, I mean, you're going to end up 2 years later being you, and that person's going to be like, what is this?
Yeah.
So props to you for like letting, like, you were yourself. What you can take away from this is you were genuinely yourself from the beginning.
I was. I'm very proud. I also think that, like, for anyone that knows what it's like to either break up with someone, or actually, like, for anyone who felt like even though they knew that it would be so hard to say really how you feel because you know that the outcome might not be what you want, then I feel like you are so brave. Yeah. And I mean, it is not easy to have conversations like this because the outcome is like you might lose this person.
Right, right.
And I knew that that was going to be really, really hard. I mean, to be honest, I felt like both of us got into this relationship with a very immature emotional, like, gauge as far as relationships goes. So, like, there were multiple times when we were together where I felt like I was, like, a teenager. I felt like I was in high school in a relationship with him.
Oh. Yeah.
Which, you know, you think of that wistful, like, first love type of thing, right? Where I think him and I experienced a lot of, like, things, like, firsts within the last, like, 5 months. Just he had, you know, used to tell me I'm so refreshing. Like, I don't think he really had been around someone like me a lot in his life, maybe. And, like, he was open, but, you know, still even – you know, I experienced, like, he taught me a lot of stuff too about different things and about life and children and just like, but so there was so much of me that understands that I feel like I was in this, like, I'm not saying that I didn't, like, I told him I loved him, by the way, you guys, like more than once or twice when this whole thing was going on. Well, he didn't say it back. And I know he cared for me, but, like,
did he say why?
I never asked him why. I mean, basically said it in, like, when we were having, like, a fight before we broke up. And it was in the heat of the moment of something. And then we, like, hung up with each other. So I didn't really, he didn't have an option. But, like, I mean, he would have said it if he meant it. But I mean, there were little things that he would do that made me believe that maybe he loved me. I don't know. But again, I think I don't know if has the capacity in his mind to love someone right now. I mean, he's still literally trying to figure out how to find out who he is outside of this marriage of 11, you know, like with kids and figure out his life. And he, you know, there was part of, you know, he struggles with his sleeping. So, like, there's part of me that felt so bad that I was a part of messing up his sleeping and messing up his, you know, daily life and work and all this stuff. I just felt very much like a burden.
No, you're not a burden.
I know. No, I know I'm not. I just felt like that. It was nothing he was really doing. He was just being himself. But, you know, I guess he was being, I don't even know. Part of me also is just so annoyed because I'm like, who was this person? Like, did I really know who he was? I don't know. Because, like,
what changed, like, from when y'all went on that trip? What changed?
All I know is that I started getting a lot more anxious about the abandonment thing at Christmas. Him and his ex-wife were spending Christmas, like, with the kids, and they were doing, I mean, it was the first Christmas and they're very little. And so they did everything so amazing for their kids. And that's what they should do, right? Like, she came over for dinner Christmas Eve. He went over Christmas Day. It was all about, like, making sure the kids felt safe and, like, felt okay in the holidays. And of course, all of it was just about figuring out where I fit in with it.
Honestly, Allison, as an outsider looking in, I think I would have handled it worse than you. That's hard crap, dude. That's hard. That's so hard because you question, what if he still loves her?
I know.
What if he just leaves me for her again? I'm just this, like, what if they don't even, like, what if he's never even mentioned me? All those thoughts would go through my head. That is all valid. You picture this Instagram-worthy picture of everyone in matching PJs and them falling back in love again, and you're just this person sitting at home wondering, like, am I good enough? Like, I literally would feel the exact same way. So,
well,
I'm proud of you if you spoke up and said, this is how I feel. And honestly, the holidays are hard for people who are alone and don't have a family. Like, anybody listening who feels that way or relates with Allison, like, that's valid. And I hope that he didn't take that validity from you.
No. I think there are things that, you know, in my next relationship I'll do differently, because I feel like there was so much insecurity there that I literally just kept asking. Like, we woke up before he was going to Christmas one morning, and I was just like, can you just, let me know if you feel like you still love her, or like, please just don't fall in love with her again. Like, all
there's
stuff.
Nothing
like,
wrong with that.
Deep down, I knew he would. I knew he wasn't going to, but I also deep down didn't know if he still was there with that love. Maybe not like in love, not like he wants to go back, but like there's such a love there that I can't compete with right now.
I personally feel like I would feel exactly how you did. And I think a ton of people would. Like, they had so much history, and you feel like this new person who, like, he doesn't know me. I don't have his kids. Like, they just ended things. Like, what if, like, they spend a little bit of time together and they realize, like, whoa, we messed up. Like, that is all valid. Like, if this was like 5 years ago, yeah, Allie, you shouldn't worry about it. But that is fresh.
I know.
That is so fresh. I would feel the same way. If the papers weren't signed, it takes 2 seconds to be like, never mind.
I know.
That is so valid. And I hope people have told you that. You're not insecure for thinking that way.
Yeah.
Like, I promise, I think I would be worse. Like,
I know. Well, no.
Hey, do you think you could set up a camera in the house and just let me watch a little bit?
No way. I know. And I worked so hard on trusting things. And I think that honestly what it came down to was those couple weeks, I was so like back and forth. And I don't really know. I really don't know what was going on in his mind. I just really don't know. Yeah. It's just saying everything that was on his mind, I guess. He was trying, and I just needed more or something. And we just weren't aligning that way. I mean, I kept trying to say, well, this is the type of thing I need in a relationship. And he was like, I don't really need anything. I want to be with you, but I don't really need anything, which I don't necessarily think is true in any healthy relationship. I think everybody has needs, and I think it's okay to talk about them.
Does he struggle with like opening or like talking about feelings or like sharing things? So like literally my fiance is the same way. Like I could be like, what do you need? And he's like, he would be like, oh, I'm fine. Like things are great. Like even though something is bothering him, he could be like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that I know he tried so hard for what he has right now. And I don't know if that was enough for me because I think he said that like, I never wanted him to be any different, but like there's part of relation, not even just romantic relationships, but friendships where I do need someone that is emotionally available, like is able to hear what I'm saying emotionally and is able to sit with that.
Yeah.
And then also have some insight into when they're feeling sad or scared and they're not afraid to say it every now and then. Like I do understand that men are very different from women,
Yeah.
They are not as intuitive and they can maybe compartmentalize a little bit easier. They're not as sensitive and maybe they're not, I think our society does a great job of letting men know that if they show any emotion that they're weak, right? Which is so false.
Yeah.
Right? Like showing emotion.
No,
I don't even care what gender you are. And honestly, in a world of, having gender equality and all this stuff, like that's, sorry, but I'm going to curse right now. That's bullshit to say that, right? Like, oh, men are just this way. Men don't talk about feelings. They're just, I'm sorry.
I don't get that.
Are you human?
Yeah.
Are you made of stone?
Yeah.
Because no, everyone has feelings. Everyone has emotions. It's okay if you're not Allie, who is a highly sensitive person who can literally cry on command. I could probably be a great actress. Literally.
Cry.
Cry on command. I literally can think about something and I'll start crying.
Hollywood, come on.
Yeah. So, but, you know, obviously, yes, that's a little bit extreme sometimes. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel bad about that. I think that makes me who I am. And that's a gift because I'm a very big empath. And so whoever I end up with is going to see that and they're going to feel compassion. They're going to love me for that. They're going to see me cry and it's not going to make them anxious to see that happen. They're going to be able to sit with it. And I think that's the hardest thing for people that respond that aren't really in tune with a lot of their emotions is to be able to sit with another person.
That it makes them uncomfortable. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because they don't know how to feel their feelings. So when they see someone else feeling, that kind of like rouse them up inside and they're like, I don't know what to do. This is making me anxious. Like, because they've never addressed those feelings.
100%.
Yeah. Everything you have said during this episode so far is so beyond valid. I just want you to know that, like, you're not alone, first of all. Second of all, you're not crazy. No, you're not crazy. And I would feel every single emotion that you felt. Like, if we were sitting here and you told me that their divorce was 10 years ago, I would say, Allie, we need to get off this podcast and sign you up in a mental institute.
Right.
But nothing you have said has been like you overreacted.
Yeah, I think that is something that, and I'll get into a little bit about how I've been healing myself since this conversation happened last Wednesday.
Everything fine? And then did you call them or what happened?
There was after Christmas, and that's another thing, we exchanged gifts and everything. And I'm just like, well, why did we even do that? If this was like going back and forth, like, I don't even know. Basically, things weren't great over the holiday. Like, I could tell that, like, he was very overwhelmed about certain things. Like, you can tell. He might not have, like, told me
in
his words that I needed to hear what was wrong. But, like, you can tell someone's temperament, right? Mm-hmm. One day he had a very bad day where he was very he was just very irritable. He didn't sleep well and, like, things didn't go right. And so – you know, that was jarring for me. I didn't ever see, I don't know what that was, but like there was another day where I was feeling really anxious and just crying and because I didn't know what was going on. So it was just a lot of like
uncertainty.
Yeah. Uncertainty things. So, but we still, you know, together for, you know, exchanging gifts and like we talk and it would still be like, yeah, but there was the sort of like elephants in the room about ourselves.
Yeah.
That I think he might have been scared to talk to me about, and I was scared to talk to him about. So after we exchanged – after New Year's, so it was New Year's that happened, and I felt like I just love New Year's. And
– oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
It was – I mean, it was great, but I could – New Year's had happened right after he had this sort of – kind of like day where he was just really having a bad day. And I didn't know what that was. And so I still in my mind was like, oh, something's still off. Like something must be going. I don't know what's going on with him if he's having these reactions to life, but I don't know what it is. And I kind of just put a Band-Aid on it on New Year's. And I think he did too. And we have fun and we cooked and
did you go anywhere?
Had some really good talks. No. No, we just, I mean, we can't really go anywhere.
Right.
But like, I thought we had some really great conversations, but in my mind, I did, like I said to him during that weekend, during New Year's Eve, we were sitting like outside at his fire pit. And I just remember in my mind thinking like, something is not right. Like this just isn't working. And I almost like wanted to say that to him. At that point, like we had 2 days where we were going to be together. And I was like, I didn't want to do it yet. I wanted to see if we could like work on whatever was going on. And I just turned to him and I was like, you know, I just want to let you know, no matter what happens, I'm so glad I met you.
Aww.
And he was like, you too. And you know, it's really, really refreshing to be around. And like, it was just a really nice moment. And
I think, Ellie, you have such a sweetheart. Like, you really do. You have a loving heart. You're making me cry. You don't deserve that.
No, it's okay. I don't even want anyone to be like, you don't deserve that, because he is a good man. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. So I don't want anyone, you know, there's people that have been being like, oh, guys suck. Like, oh my God, what an a-hole. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, he's not. Like, he's
no, yeah.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's a good man. And I think he's,
I just, you know, I think maybe we just weren't like aligned right now, you know? And
yeah.
And I think that was a word you just hit on that I think it was really important right now. I feel like him in 5 years and getting past all of this stuff and like recognizing that he needs healing, like not saying that like you should never like talk to him again. You know how girls are sometimes when people break up, like screw him, like you deserve better, blah, blah, blah. Like you said, like you genuinely care about this guy and I'm sure you still do.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that doesn't go away. And I know he cares about you. That doesn't go away.
No.
But like it's the timing. Truly.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth. Like, is it the timing? I don't know. Like I said before, why was this conversation just like we're definitely over? Why, you know, like why couldn't we have?
Yeah, that's my question.
But yeah. I personally think that he doesn't have the mental capacity to work at something else right now. There's a lot of stuff he's working on, right? And very like having a relationship on top of that, it's an extra stressor for him. It's not bringing
I remember you and I talking and you were like, he doesn't like what, or he was like confused about his work. He wanted to start this new thing. He had all these ideas. What was it? He wants to start a new business. And like,
well, no, he was just thinking about one day having his own business, but, and doing running numbers and stuff, but it would mean him like, I don't know, doing all these different things. And I, in my mind, was like, well, what? Like, you couldn't, like, I don't know. It would be like traveling or something a lot. And I remember thinking in my mind, oh my God, what? Right. Just like jumping to conclusions about, that's another thing that I've learned is like, I put so much, I had such a fantasy in my mind of what I wanted. You know, it was a relationship.
I feel you.
You know, this is,
I relate to that.
Oh my gosh, like I can picturing my future with him and thinking about, you know, when, you know, again, meeting people, him and I had certain conversations about meeting other people in our lives. And I could tell he wasn't ready for that, but I would be pushing pressure on him. And like, I could tell he wasn't ready. And I don't know why that's another thing I said when we had our breakup conversation. I said to him, I'm so sorry. And I'm not saying sorry to him because I feel like I did something wrong. I'm just sorry in general that for some reason I felt like I needed to put all this pressure on you and myself. I put pressure on myself too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
About, you know, when are we going to meet people? Oh, when, so you think, fine, you see yourself getting married again? Oh, not for 5 years. What? Oh my gosh. That's like way too long for me.
That's the anxious in you though.
Totally.
Wanting to make sure he's staying.
Yes. The fear of abandonment.
Yeah.
I am.
But Allie, the thing is you recognize stuff.
Well,
you recognize all this stuff. So I'm confused. I'm confused why it had to be completely done.
Because
you're not unaware.
I know. Well, and so
you
that
were
was
unaware because no one ever told you.
Uh-huh. That was part of the conversation before we actually talked in person. I said to him, you know, listen, I know what's going on with me. I have this fear of abandonment. I'm working on it. I'm going to therapy. Like I am anxious in relationships, but I'm really working on trusting things more and I'm doing this. And it's your choice if you want to work on whatever you're working on together. Cause I will be in it and I'll work on whatever you're working on with this whole process. If you need support with that, of course I'll be supporting you through it, but it's really like up to you if you feel like you can do that together. And I guess he couldn't. So it was too much. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not looking.
Have you heard from him?
No. I haven't. I didn't expect to. I I mean, we're still connected on Instagram, but
yeah,
it's really like, I can't look at things. Like I can't look at any of his things. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's very weird to have. And I think this is probably the biggest thing for anyone who's listening is like, if you don't like have kids with someone and, or you're, you know, really going through a breakup where maybe you're not married, I think this is why it's so hard for just to break up and that's it. Because going from like hearing from this person all the time and like spending so much time and knowing their life to like just.
That's absolutely valid.
Not having them in your life anymore.
Yeah.
Is weird.
Especially because it just like, I feel like it was so, it was good, good, good. And then all of a sudden there's this one conversation and there was no room or allowance for growth or healing or anything.
Yeah.
It was normally you have that conversation and then it's like, okay, how can we move forward? It's like, that doesn't just.
Well, I said that to him too, in the middle of the conversation, I said, you know, we've never had a conversation like this.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time we're actually talking together like this and I don't.
Right.
So, yeah, but I mean, for me, I will say for anyone that kind of has this back and forth with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you know that there's just something that's not working, like you have to listen to that.
Yeah.
And if you guys aren't able to openly communicate about what's going on with each other, that's not healthy. Right. And I will say that, like, even though I'm going through this sadness right now, and it is a loss, like, I'm really, like, grieving a lot of this, I'm moving through it. I'm going through it. I'm letting myself cry. I'm surrounding myself with literally my support system is amazing. Like, if there's anything I've learned, it's, like, it's how amazing my friends and my family are. I stayed with my sister a couple days last week. This week I'm going to stay with her again. My friend Jen is one of the most amazing people. She let me stay at her apartment one night and like drew up a bubble bath for me.
Oh,
I mean, my other friends have been just checking in on me, seeing if I'm okay. And, you know, sometimes I just feel so dramatic because it wasn't even that long of a relationship, but I feel like at 40, you sort of like a 5-month relationship is probably more of like a longer one.
No, because you know, Allie, I feel like at 5 months, it's harder because you're still in that like honeymoon phase.
Well, right. It's, I mean, and that's the thing. You get to a point where it's not the honeymoon phase anymore. Right. And that's what's the scariest part of it, because then you start seeing each other as really what you are. You know, you're not putting on a mask as much anymore and you're really expressing yourself more, and you don't know if your partner's going to be able to handle that. Yeah. And that's the scary part, because I know I need someone that can handle that and knows I need someone who is able to give me that mental space that I don't think he was able to do, because he had so much.
I'm going to say something and you can answer it how you want, but what if he texts you in like a week or contacts you?
Oh my God, I don't know.
Because sometimes people, their easiest thing to do is run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to, because there's so much. I'm pretty sure he's not going to, but I mean, I don't know. I can't even answer that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, the last conversation we had was so honest.
Yeah.
That I would be open to being like having an honest conversation again. I mean,
absolutely.
I love those types of those conversations with people, because once that box opens, it's almost like, oh my gosh, we had this real honest conversation and we can be with each other with these emotions.
Absolutely.
Let's just, now we can do, you know, and most, all of my relationships now, my friendships and with my family members are all based on having raw, honest conversations.
Absolutely. What I feel like he doesn't realize or see is that when it's brought to your attention or even anyone's, you're not going to keep being like, hey, are you still going to fall in love with your ex? If he has made it clear that that has been an issue for him. Like, people grow and people learn and they learn other people. They learn what they need. I know you're not going to, you would approach it very differently.
Oh my God. Things, well, no,
you know, it's just like there was no room for growth.
That, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, it,
yeah.
I just think it, we both definitely need to grow as far as relationships go. And for him, I think there's a lot of other things also that I won't get into, but there's other stuff, yeah, I think he's probably need, like, working on that maybe I don't even know. And that's, you know, I get that. There's a lot of stuff that people go through in their life that if they've never tapped into, like, I mean, I've been in therapy for like 10 years, maybe even off and on my whole life, but to really get to this point in my life of feeling a lot of self-love and knowing that things that happened in my past weren't my fault and recognizing that where I am at 40 is a beautiful place to be and that mm-hmm. it's okay that I'm not where every, like, expectations, right? There's so many expectations I have for myself and pressure I felt from society and other people. And I've worked through a lot of that stuff, but I think there's a lot of people that haven't really worked on their own through a lot of their experiences and things that happened. And so
I want to give you this piece of advice. A lot of girls, like you said, and a lot of family members will, they see you're hurt. So they're going to be like, screw him, move on, blah, blah, blah. But I want to tell you, he's a good guy. He's a good guy who can't recognize his emotions. And if anything were to happen, I support you. If anything were ever to continue, I support you. They're like, I feel like girls are so judged sometimes for getting back with guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
And they have to hide it and just like all this stuff. Like, I feel he's a good guy. At his core, I do.
I don't even think that it would actually be fair to him or to me to actually get back together right now because.
Right. Absolutely.
It wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be a good thing. I think, especially for him, there's a lot of, I mean.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff that I can recognize that wouldn't be good. But
yeah,
I personally, like, really deep down, and I don't know if anyone else listening feels this like a way, like right after a breakup, but I really deep down feel like I won't, like, I will somehow see him again or like talk to him again. It might not be, you know, us going, being together or whatever, but I just feel like.
No, I agree.
Someone that was so important to me. I can't imagine just not having contact with him again or something.
And I feel there needs to be a conversation, maybe not now, maybe not in a month, maybe not in 2 months, but a conversation from a more gentle and hey, we had space place.
Yeah, maybe. 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 Who knows? I don't even know. Yeah. I need to focus on, like, you know, what I really want. Because I feel like I lost myself a little bit in this. And, you know, it's really hard. And I think the one thing is that I can say is, like, I'm getting through it. Every day I'm meditating and I'm listening to, like I said, amazing podcasts about relationships and fear of abandonment. Mark Groves is one of the best podcasts I've listened to. This whole time, it feels like I mean, for anyone listening to us who feels like maybe we're your friends, I feel like Mark Groves is a friend of mine. He is so insightful about life and about relationships. He talks a lot about his own limitations in relationships too, which I love.
So there was a girl who commented on my story the other day and was like, what if I never get past this breakup?
Oh my gosh, I know, of course. It feels like that in the moment, you guys. Oh my God, every day. It feels like you're just going to live in despair for the rest of your life. This is how I've been feeling, you know, that this there's just this heartache and pain, and you almost wish you could erase like the memories, because so much of the things that I think about with him now are the amazing fun things we did. Like, I just miss, you know, even his house and his back, you know, we used to sit around the fire, but just like talk and, you know, dance and stupid, like those are the things that I think about all the time. It's easy to think about the good things. But there's a reason why it didn't work. And I have to remind myself of those things and remind myself that I had a life before I knew him.
A very independent and you've had your life. You know what you said when you first started talking about this guy? You were scared to mess up the life you had.
Well, that was a huge thing. I was so good at being alone, though.
Yes,
I was almost. Said that. I was too good at being alone, and I think if there's
you are pretty good.
If there's anything that this has taught me is like, happiness is only best when shared. I'm quoting Christopher McCandless from Into the Wild. Has anyone seen? Have you seen Into the Wild or read it?
I haven't. No. Maybe we had to read it in school.
You might have had to. The movie's so good too. I mean, it's about a real true story about a kid who goes and lives like in Alaska in the wild. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but tragedy happens. And he realizes like at the very end of his whole independent type of journey he had into Alaska and just traveling alone. And he basically, you know, got rid of all of his money and like didn't even tell his parents or family where he was going. He just went on this journey by himself, only to recognize that in the last like couple minutes of what he went through, that happiness really is best when you're with people.
Oh.
And when you're shared. So like, to me, it's almost this whole thing has taught me like, no, you're never alone. Even if you feel alone, we're here. There's a community. The community of the Anxiety Healer have been so amazing. Insight Timer, the meditation app I have a community, and meditating live with other people is just so amazing. The people that I do at my support system have been so awesome, and it's just human connection. Human connection is why we're here.
Absolutely.
That's just how I feel. So
I agree.
I don't know. I feel like that's just a huge thing. And it's important for me to remind myself to stay connected to people, because I think I was too good at being alone before I met him. And I wasn't really staying connected as much as I needed to with other people. So that's what I've learned.
Yeah. Sometimes we go through things to push us and grow.
Yeah. But
you're strong.
This was so – thank you for whoever's listening still. For whoever felt like they – I don't know – didn't care to hear about this journey. I'm sorry, whatever. But I know that everyone goes through this type of thing at one point and another, and just know that – You're not alone, and that if you're going through it, it really is temporary. And I will say every day has been getting a little bit better. Like I texted my friend today. I was like, well, I haven't cried yet today, so that's good. And then I just did this. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll cry today again. It's okay. And crying, good. But just remind yourself not to stay there. If there's something about like a transition or a loss that you go through that I think when you break up a routine or you really change your lifestyle, it's so healing. So like, I don't know if I said this or not yet, but I've been going to bed a lot earlier and waking up a lot earlier because, well, because I figured like here in Pennsylvania it's getting very dark early still, right? We're in that time of the year. And I know that I thrive in daylight. I love sunlight, and it heals me. And so I'm trying to get up at like 7:30, 8 o'clock now and get up and take a walk during the morning, taking a walk and getting outside every single day. Just if you guys can get outside, just get outside every single day. You don't need to even walk far or anything. Just breathe in the air. And that has been such a huge shift for me. That's been really helpful. So
thank you for sharing, Allie.
You're welcome.
I know that was hard.
It was, but guess what? I did it, and I'm feeling better. I mean, this is the power of talk, right? And getting things out is just helping. Maybe this can help other people and
someone listening. I promise. Yeah.
And I really love this community, and every single person that listens and follows us is just so incredible. And so
truly, yeah.
Knowing how many incredible people are out there, it just gives me so much hope. So I hope, if anything, this podcast gave you some more hope.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hi, healers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Anxiety Chicks with Taylor and I. As always, you can find us on Instagram. You can find me, Allison Sepinera, as The Anxiety Healer, and Taylor as Health_anxiety. And as always, you can check out The Anxiety Healing School. I just dropped a new course called When Panic Attacks, Triggers That Create Fear and How to Overcome Them. All about overcoming your anxious triggers and finding more awareness on what contributes to your anxious thoughts and giving you all the tools on how to overcome them. It's a self-paced course, and if there's any struggle with finances, there's a payment plan available as well. So go to theanxietyhealingschool.com to check that out. And as always, go to peakofpanic.com to check out updates about Taylor's blog and her journal she's coming out with. Thanks, everyone. Happy healing.